If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Let me spec.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this. So I saw something in the news. Well, I say the news. I don't watch the news.
TikTok.
I saw it on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on. Like, TikTok, really?
oh my God.
So there was a woman. We only know her first name. She's called Jessie.
Okay.
Or that could be an alias. I don't know. 35-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
In Northampton General Hospital. So she went to hospital in April 2023. But she has recently been arrested. She'd been living in a hospital bed for 18 months.
Well, you mean like undetected, or you mean she was like faking an illness for accommodation?
The anonymous patient known as Jessie had spent 550 days in Northampton General Hospital because finding her a suitable place to go provided to be difficult. She was admitted on April 14th, 2023, as she needed treatment for cellulitis.
Sure.
A bacterial infection that affects the skin and tissues beneath it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The 35-year-old wheelchair user, who has been medically fit to leave, was ready to be discharged from hospital by the end of April. So, end of that month.
Right, yeah.
But was told she could not return to the nursing home where she had lived for 9 years, as it could no longer accommodate her needs.
Oh.
Like, there's photos of her laid in the hospital bed and just her belongings just fucking all over the room.
So, but was the hospital okay with this, or was she?
Who do you think phoned the cops?
Oh.
This meant that Jessie, who was unable to work and reliant on benefits, became increasingly isolated. Stuck inside the hospital cubicle on a 6-bedded ward, she said her long stay at the hospital has had a negative impact on her mental health, as she only had curtains for privacy and all her possessions were stored in boxes around her bed. So she started doing a video diary.
Okay.
In a video diary...
Hey guys, welcome to my crib.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
In a video diary from her hospital bed, she said she had felt very angry, upset and worthless. The BBC reported in August 2024, 16 months after she arrived, the hospital started legal action against Jessie to repossess the bed she was in.
So basically she's just squatting in the hospital?
Yeah.
Oh.
The NHS Trust eventually took High Court action against Jessie to have her evicted from the hospital bed, which happened in October. She was arrested and taken to a new care home, where she says she feels anxious. Jessie's story is a clear example of the pressure of the care system and the knock-off effect they have on the NHS.
See, I mean, I didn't know where you were going with this. I didn't know if it was like, you know, someone had compassion for her and kind of just let her stay in a room, or she was basically, you know, held up in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a case of like, you know, the woman who lived behind the sign in Michigan, where like you walk in, she's, you know, she's done the place up. She's done a bit of an IKEA shop.
Yeah.
And she's decked it out, coffee machine and all. Remember, she had a printer as well, that woman in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Yeah, she put flooring down, the works.
But 18 months on a hospital bed and hospital food?
So, we need to dig into that a bit more. Yeah, maybe look into that and come back to it. And,
maybe.
Because I need more information. Like, was it somewhat undetected, or was it...
They just couldn't get rid of her, so they just ended up phoning police.
Yeah, but... wouldn't they have done that sooner to get police involved to remove her? Like, there has to have been some type of in between. Like, 18 months, you said.
18 months.
That's quite a stint just to be squatting somewhere and then to be like, oh, Jessie.
The photos of her with the just shit everywhere, just piled up. Must have been a fire hazard.
Yeah.
As well. But yeah, well, you're the researcher.
I'll look into it and I'll report back. I'll probably forget. Try and remind me because I am interested in that.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, lads, I just want to apologise if my voice sounds like shit. Got a bit of a dose on me.
You're Irish.
What?
Huh?
Got a bit of a dose on me anyway, and I'm through the worst of it. But we did try to record. Well, we were going to record a few days ago, and Neil was like, "We are not. You sound." He literally said, "You sound disgusting."
I did not say you did. No. Right. For a start, when your voice sounded a bit huskier, and I was like, "It actually sounds nice."
I had actually quite a lot of fun with my voice when it was really raspy, because I said to Neil, I can do a good like Yorkshire accent with this. Now, Neil can kind of attest to this, and I'm sure any of our northern listeners can. There's a very specific type of northern woman.
Petrifying.
With their voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're out of love. Put Kekkel on. It's a proper, you know, the type of woman that if you're a young man, you run from.
Yeah.
She's full on.
Yeah.
She will not stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neil, you've experienced it. You know what those women are like.
I have.
Yeah.
Not much of a difference in Ireland.
I've never met a woman of that caliber over here. I'm sure there are, though. But it's the voice as well. When they've got that like kind of deeper, raspier voice, it just makes it that much more intimidating.
Yeah.
Go on. What's something they would say?
Well,
Kitty's been fed.
That always stands out for me.
Kitty's been fed. I can't. My throat's too sore. I can't do that. I can't put those words together in your accent. You say it. You try, because you actually have the accent. Just lay it on a bit thick.
Oh, I've actually got another one. So anyone who's around my age will remember Bo Selector when he used to take the piss out of Mel B. You minge teasing bastard.
That's the type of thing they'd say. Yeah. But yeah, if you've got a bit of a raspy throat, just put on that Yorkshire accent and you can have some fun.
Yeah. Mm. You do it every day anyway. I can't spec without you taking piss out of me.
I'm very ignorant. I constantly mimic your accent. And I don't mean it in a nasty way. I apologise if it comes off that way. I actually mean it as like a compliment. I love your accent. I love some of the things you say and how you say them.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not meant with malice.
So do our listeners as well. Like osses.
Osses, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not meant to sound like an arsehole, but I'm sure it does. Like, because sometimes I'll say something and you'll laugh, and then other times you'll look at me like, please just stop.
Let me spec.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get it all the time, though. We've had people in work who just, you'll say anything.
Yeah.
And they just can't help but mimic it.
Yeah.
It's a lovely accent.
Yeah. But I don't think I'm that hard to understand. Some people at work can't understand me.
But the funny thing is, so I'm Irish. I understand what it's like to be mimicked. You know what I mean? And not just mimicked, exaggerated. Doesn't really bother me. I think the Irish, for the most part, just find it, they either find it funny or they just ignore it. They don't really care.
Yeah.
You never really take the piss out of me. And it'd be very easy to. Because I've noticed Northern English, yeah?
Yeah.
Yous tend to speak a lot slower.
Yeah.
Particularly you yourself, you speak slower and you take a long time to get to the point.
It's because we're so chill and relaxed.
Well, you tell a whole story, whereas the Irish, our mouths move faster than our fucking brains at times.
Yes.
And I'll start talking about, like, it'll just go to fucking gibberish.
Yeah.
With what I'm saying. So I don't know why you don't slag me more.
We've got bloopers. Yeah. If you were doing that.
What the fuck was I even, like, I've listened to it back and go, I don't know what I was trying to get at there.
Yeah.
And there you go. So we've got a shout out to do as well this week.
We do.
Our shout out this week is for Amy. You got a nickname for her, Neil?
Ames.
Ames, okay. And that's in reference to, or took inspiration from?
Well, no, like Ames is a popular nickname for someone called Amy.
Yeah.
But Ames is in like aiming down your rifle.
Yeah,
Ames.
See, I was trying to think of what to do, so I just went with, it's a very Irish way of giving someone a nickname. You just fucking owe onto it. So we'll take away the why, and put a no
fuck
on.
Fuck that off.
Amo. You don't need that. You don't need the Y. Amo. Oh, Amo.
But is it Amy with an I or is it Amy with a Y?
With a Y.
It is with a Y.
Her name is spelled with a Y.
Okay.
It's not the Irish way. The A-I-M-E-E.
The what?
Amy. The Irish spelling is A-I-M-E-E. Aim-E.
Okay.
You probably prefer that one now because that just has aim in it. But yeah, good old Amo. Thank you for your support. Appreciate you.
Fucking Amo.
Amo. Good old Amo. Yeah. You know Amo from Up the Road. See? This sounds plausible. Right, so I think we've shited on enough for the starter.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to get into today's case?
You tell me, am I? Is it a bad one?
Well, today we're going to talk about a scandal in the death industry.
We've done it.
Well, we're going to be talking about another one, Neil. There's more than one scandal.
Okay.
Plenty of scandal to go around. We are going to be talking about the Arizona body donation scandal.
Okay.
Do you want to do it or will I?
What?
Baddy, addy, 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 addy. When we did body farms, I couldn't believe neither one of us did it.
Yeah.
I really thought when I read it.
I did in one episode. I don't know what it was.
Baddy, addy, addy.
As soon as you said body, I just
it's
baddy,
hard.
Addy, addy.
That song has like took over my brain. But anyway, yeah, we're going to be talking about the Arizona body, addy, addy donation scandal.
Okay.
Not familiar, no?
No.
No, okay.
He's so, just checking.
Well, you know, I feel I would be remiss if I did not at this point. It's kind of just become a thing, hasn't it? So for some clarity on how body donations work in the US, organ donation is regulated by the US Department of Health and Human Services. But body donations as a whole is unregulated and that leaves quite a big grey area. Although it is illegal to buy and sell bodies, charging a, quote, reasonable amount to process a body is permitted. So process meaning removal, storage, transportation or disposal.
Okay.
So again, there's kind of a wide range there.
I was going to say, because it can't be illegal because you go to a funeral home, they're going to charge you for cremation. They're going to charge you for burial.
That's what I mean. Like it's just kind of a bit vague.
Yeah.
There's also no national database to track how many bodies are donated, so it's really at the discretion of the company to keep these files.
Okay.
There's only 4 states in the US who do keep a close watch on body donations and sales, and these states are New York, Virginia, Oklahoma, and Florida. I didn't see Florida being on the list. I felt like Florida is just going to be a free-for-all.
Yeah, do what you fucking want.
In 2004... a federal health panel tried but were unsuccessful in obtaining stricter regulations within the industry. Christina Strong, a lawyer who co-wrote a set of standards regarding organ donation, said, quote, "This isn't reinventing the wheel. It would not be a stretch to envision a uniform state law which requires that those who recover, distribute and use human bodies adhere to uniform standards of transparency, traceability and authorization." That's fair.
A lot of big words.
It's estimated that thousands of bodies are donated in the US every year for educational and research purposes. But what they are actually used for may be a completely different story.
I think that's a bit off.
What?
Well, like, because I know they're into, in America, they're into doing all the, you know, dissecting a pig or a frog. But what are they
doing?
Pinch
a frog back.
Yeah. So yeah. What are they doing it with people for?
Because you it's not the same.
You said it's educational. That's school.
Yeah. No. Well, no. When I say educational, it doesn't just stop at secondary level education. I'm talking about third level, going to college and university and all that. You know, we're not going into like a fucking high school here and just slapping a corpse on the counter and being like,
cut it up.
Have at it, lads.
But you said educational, so I thought...
That is the most fucked up vision of like just the fucking maintenance guy coming in, body over his shoulder, just slapping it onto the table.
Cut his tackle off.
No. Well. So now that we've correctly identified the locations that they're going to be used in, not high schools,
mm-hmm.
I hope. You never know. Although body donation can be used in wonderful ways, such as the advancements of medical and scientific research, as well as education, like we discussed in the Body Farm episode, the lack of regulations can unfortunately lead to the abuse of donor bodies and what they'd wished for their bodies to be used for.
See, you've always said you'd send my brain off for investigation.
Well, if you found out that you had... So let's say you had Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Would you be okay with your brain being studied for Alzheimer's to advance their knowledge?
I haven't got a problem with it. But what I do find strange is everyone has their say of what they want done to their body, their head, their brain after they die. But you said, when you die, I'm having your brain sent off for testing.
Well, I was, I was joking. But you have had quite a few concussions.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know.
Watch out.
You know, you know.
And I'm Capricorn. Apparently that's a fucking problem as well.
Well, I'm Gemini. Dicks. I'm Gemini. And not that people think Geminis are serial killers. I don't think. But we're just considered like bitches.
Yeah.
People
and Capricorns are psychos.
Oh, that's such Gemini behavior.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'd do. If I turned into a serial killer as I'm stabbing him, I'd go, sorry, I'm Capricorn. It was meant to be.
So let's take a look at what these bodies are going for. Cadavers can be sold somewhere in the region of $3,000 to $5,000.
What?
But can sometimes reach up as high as $10,000.
Right, one of these companies. Go on Megan's Facebook, Instagram. Have a look at her. Give me an offer.
Give me an offer. Well, the thing is, I'm talking about the body as a whole, yeah?
Yeah.
These businesses will quite often dissect the body and parts will be sold separately to meet the needs of the customers. So in theory, they can make more money by breaking it down, you know?
Okay. It sounds reasonable so far.
Does it?
Well, yeah, because so say if someone needs a lung, you cut a lung out. So say someone died of head trauma. The lung's fine.
Yeah.
Cut the lung out and get them.
Well, this isn't organ donation.
You said within the needs of the customer.
Yeah.
So
no, but
this
isn't...
the person who needs a lung.
Yeah, okay, but we're not looking at organ donation. This is more about they want the lung to study or to research something.
I must have got wrong end at stick again.
Again, organ donation is regulated. There's a standard, there's a set of rules, whereas body donation is kind of a little bit more of a free-for-all.
So is this black market?
No, there's not regulations there, so they can kind of get away with doing what they want. So the Biological Resource Center in Arizona was a for-profit business. And it was an ideal choice for lower income families as well, because they offered free of charge transportation and cremation. And the majority of their donors did come from those earning below the state average. It should be a win-win in terms of, you know, if you're looking for a lower cost option and you're also in doing so, going with this company, you're helping with medical or scientific research.
Yeah.
And although they did have consent forms for the families to fill out, they didn't always abide by their wishes. In January 2014, the FBI raided the 9,000 square foot Biological Resource Center in Phoenix, Arizona. They were able to do so by using a state forfeiture law, meaning they can take what is believed to have been used in a criminal manner.
Okay. But what did they, how did they have, they need a warrant, so they need suspicion to get that warrant.
Mm-hmm.
What was the suspicion? Like, what were their evidence? Can't just say, I think they're doing something dodgy. Give me a warrant. They have to say, look at this. They said they'd do this, but they didn't. They're doing something dodgy.
Well, I don't know if it was a case of, you know, family members complaining or if it was a case of they looked at his taxes and were like,
oh, okay.
You know. By doing this, authorities are able to seize the contents of the facility. Now, obviously, the contents of the facility are...
bodies.
Yeah, it's quite a morbid seizure.
Yeah.
Upon entering the facility, FBI agents were greeted with unsettling scenes. Quote, mishandled, abused, desecrated, and sold for profit. Now, hung on the wall in this facility was the torso of a man, a larger man, with the head of a more petite woman sewn on.
Ah, fuck that. I thought you were going to say they were using it as a dartboard or something.
No. Not as far as I'm aware. Quote, I observed a large torso with the head removed and replaced with a smaller head sewn together in a Frankenstein manner. Can you imagine walking? Like, it's not a mix and match situation. It's, how do you react to that? I mean, you're going into something knowing you're going to see some shit. And then to see that level of disrespect.
Anyone who works there, section them. They need mental help. You can't say, some people have a darker sense of humour. That's darker sense of humour.
There's darker and there's twisted. Yeah. Like, body parts were strewn about the premises. Others were just piled one on top of another. Quote, I observed body parts piled on top of each other throughout the facility with no apparent identification to indicate what bodies they came from or to whom they belonged to.
That's fucking unreal.
Quote, buckets and coolers with various body parts, including a bucket of heads, arms and legs, and they were also without identification. Tables were just stacked high with limbs. Male torsos without limbs or genitalia. One cooler was filled with male genitalia. And other bodies had been dismembered and commingled together.
What were they doing with the dicks?
I assume selling them on to, you know, whatever customer required it.
But you can't just sew someone else's tackle onto you and it works.
What do you mean work?
Say if I got into a shark attack.
Yeah.
And a shark bit me tackle off. So then this company sends the hospital someone else's tackle. They can't just sew that on and it's going to be
working. Neil, it's not organ donation.
So what are they selling it for?
They're selling them for research or, you know, for someone to examine. It's okay. To be used not as a organ donation. It's not going to be a live organ again.
I need to get that out of my head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One FBI agent who has since retired due to PTSD said, quote, it looked like a junkyard chop shop where they were just ripping things apart. And I mean, they literally were ripping these bodies apart. Interns who worked there had been instructed to remove fingernails with pliers.
What?
Yeah. This is gruesome. It's brutal. It's not even these people who are highly trained who did some things they shouldn't have. Mm. It was completely unprofessional, unethical.
Yeah.
Just disgraceful carry on altogether.
Like
that
I
didn't sound Irish.
Like I was thinking, imagine if, you know, a fucking grizzly bear or something got in there. It'd have time of its life. But
I don't know how your mind went from one to the other.
If I'm honest with you, I don't know how my mind...
It's just bears are always just hovering about in your mind.
Bears should always be in everyone's mind.
Well, I don't live in the US. They're not a worry here.
They can get out of Dublin Zoo.
I think we only have a polar bear in Dublin Zoo.
They're the worst.
No, I'm saying is like, it's not like it's one bear we're looking for.
Yeah.
I'm not like concerned about like a rampage of bears.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also don't tend to buy exotic animals over here. It's not really a big thing.
No.
You know, like in the US, like you see loads of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the bodies at this facility were illegally sold for profit, including being sold overseas. Following the raid, multiple FBI employees were given counselling to deal with the horrifying scenes that they were subjected to. Some were so traumatised by what they had witnessed that they refused to return to the scene.
I'm not surprised.
One agent said that he was unable to sleep at night after what he'd observed during this case. Described as resembling a meatpacking plant, it took authorities about a week to finish searching the facility.
Fucking hell.
Now, there was also a video found during this raid. Instructional videos on how to dissect a cadaver. The content of the video was described as being like a, quote, homemade horror movie.
See, why do you keep saying cadaver? That's a dog, isn't it?
No, a cadaver is like a body. What are you, a cadaver? What are you thinking of?
A dog.
Oh. Like a breed of dog?
I don't know. I've just heard the term cadaver dog.
Yeah, they're the like sniffer dogs who find bodies, who find a cadaver. Like a drug sniffing dog, okay. Bomb sniffing dog.
Okay. Learn something new every day.
You do, don't you?
I've been doing true crime podcasting for over a year now.
And you're dead proud of it, aren't you? In total, 1,755 body parts were discovered. This included 281 heads, 241 shoulders, 337 legs, and 97 spines. 142 body bags were needed. About 10 tons of frozen human remains from 851 different people, and some had been there as long as 3 years.
Fucking hell. Some way at that.
Because you got to remember, like, these people are sending the bodies off. So there's, let's say, you know, your mother passed away and you sent her body to this place.
I wouldn't. For,
okay, but let's say
putting someone else's head on someone else's body and that. I'm not going to send it there.
They don't know that they're thinking they're doing something good and it's a lower cost option for them. So let's say, like I said, say your mother had Alzheimer's and you decide to donate her body to further research on the disease. So you're expecting to send her body off. Maybe they take her brain for that. They're going to cremate the remainder of her body and send you back her remains. Say remain more. But they're keeping bodies and they're cremating random bits and send them. You know, remember in Tri-State? It's like, what even is, like, what are these ashes?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're kind of back in that situation again. So, like I said, 10 tons of frozen human remains.
That sounds a lot.
It does.
For 80. How many people?
851 different people.
So some of them must have been big. That's...
Well, the seizure was so large that the authorities had to buy 3 walk-in freezers, which were then kept on a military base. Because they have to obviously store them while they're trying to identify them and, you know, it's a whole mess of crap that they're having to deal with now. And you got to remember, it's not just, wow, we've got to do this, but for each individual person... There's going to be family members. You're going to have to be very careful and sensitive. You know, this is someone's mother, brother, sister, what have you. So, not only was this business deceiving these people on how they were handling and using their remains, but they were mutilating their bodies in order to further their profit. So let's take a look at a couple of cases from the BRC. One of the people who donated a body was a man named Jim Stouffer. He donated his 74-year-old mother's body, thinking it would be used to study Alzheimer's. He would later find out that his mother's body had been used by the military.
For what?
Well, her body was used to examine the effects of explosives, IEDs to be specific.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Now, just so you know, you can do this. You can donate your body to the military or... You know, like we discussed in the episode of The Body Farm for the purpose of training police dogs.
Yeah.
You can do these things. But the family have to consent to this. There's a specific form for this.
And obviously that company. Oh, okay, so I see what you're getting at. So guy sends his mother's body to this company. The company says they're going to do check for Alzheimer's. And then they now own that body. So they can fill that form out.
They're doing what they want with it. Yeah. I mean, as far as the military, you know, their position, they've said that, you know, basically we were working with a company. As far as we were concerned, they've now obtained the body. The families are okay with this.
We ordered 10 bodies. They delivered.
Well, basically, yeah. As far as we know, these bodies were okay to be sold to us. It was fine to do so.
Yeah.
At least that's their stance on it. So before Jim's mother's body had been sent for military testing.
Just back to the military thing. Mm-hmm. Like, do the military have ethics? Like, so if they ordered 10 bodies and they got like nine bodies and then one of, and then another body, but that's a baby, would they be like, I am not strapping an IED to a corpse of a baby? Or is it a body?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think they'd really care. I don't think it would be the ethical side of it, but they may not want to use that in terms of they're going to want to see a grown adult body and the effects of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Any military people involved in the testing the effects of explosions? Yeah, let us know.
Yeah.
It's a bit niche, but you never know. Put the word out there. So before Jim's mother's body had been sent for military testing, the BRC removed her hand for cremation and that was sent back to Jim as her remains.
What, and he didn't think there should be more than that?
Well, this is the thing. I don't know if he got that back and was like, that's a very small amount of remains, or was it they threw it in? I assume they were throwing that in with another person's remains. You know, like, okay, we had the body with the head sewn on. I assume it was that kind of a thing.
Okay.
I don't think they would have been that stingy. Jim's mother's body was sold for $5,893.
Fucking hell.
Mm.
So there is a market.
Oh, yeah. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's unregulated and they can just get away with it. They can make massive amounts of profit.
I wonder what the tax is on that, though.
A woman by the name of Gwendolyn Aloia also made a donation. In 2013... Gwendolyn donated her husband's body for medical or scientific testing, as was his wishes. She would then receive his cremated remains, along with a letter stating that his body parts had been used to aid scientific research. She would later find out that his body parts had been sold to another company in Illinois, who then sold them to a business in Michigan. Gwendolyn said on the matter, "I was devastated. I have been violated. He has been violated." It's just like passing it on.
Yeah.
Like pass the fucking parcel of a human remains.
Yeah.
There is also the case of Conrad Patrick. I don't know if you're ready for this one.
Okay.
His left foot was sent to an orthopedic lab in Chicago. His left shoulder was sent to a company that holds surgical seminars in Las Vegas. His head and spine were then sent to the US Army. It's unknown for what use, but Conrad had specifically stated that he did not wish for his body to be used for military purposes or destructive testing.
Okay.
His genitalia was sent to a nearby university, and his right foot and left knee were found in a freezer still at the Biological Resource Center premises.
So there's no way they knew what they'd got.
No, I mean, they weren't even tagging things. There was no identification for these people's remains. Like I mentioned earlier, it was specifically stated on the forms he did not want his body used for military or destructive testing.
Mm.
But a few days after his death, Conrad's widow was contacted by the Biological Resource Center. They were trying to persuade her to amend the forms so that the body could be used for military purposes.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Which, I mean, of course, at that time, it would have been very difficult just dealing with the death itself. Never mind them calling her and asking if they could then sell his body to the military. You know, you spoke about that yourself, you know, when you had a family member who passed and watching the partner of that person be hounded after their death. And, you know, you even said yourself, although you weren't the one going through it, to watch it and see the anguish in that person is.
Yeah. But, so I was only about, 13, 14 maybe. And my uncle had just died. And I watched my auntie answer the phone. And this was around that time.
Hmm.
And it was a cold caller to do with wills and pensions or something. I think it was to do with wills. And I just watched a breakdown.
Yeah.
And scream at this cold caller down the phone.
Mm.
That was horrible.
Because like I said, it's such a difficult time to begin with. Could you imagine? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
We see here he
didn't check military. Can we check it?
It's the most insensitive shit I've ever fucking heard. Conrad's wife Donna said, quote, "They prey on people that have no money, that are poor, that have no insurance, like us." At least 20 donors were used without consent for military usage.
But I take it military is fine because they're ordering, you know, they think it's legit. Then
that was their stance on it.
Yeah.
They kind of said, as far as we knew, we were going to a company that supplied bodies. We assumed it was above board.
Yeah.
But yeah. Now, as you can imagine, a lot of people, family members, were not happy with this business and
it's
what they'd done. Yes, it is. Over 30 family members of those whose bodies were improperly and unethically handled filed a lawsuit. Now, all of these donations took place between 2010 and 2014. Quote, "This is a case about honesty, dignity, and respect owed to a loved one." So essentially what this boils down to is that these people were misled about the use of the remains through false statements.
Mm.
They were seeking punitive and compensatory damages for their, quote, "severe, permanent, and extreme emotional and mental suffering and grief, as well as resulting in physical illness." Michael Berg, an attorney who represented one of the families, said, quote, "They're grave robbers, but they don't even have to do the physical work to get the body." Which, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, fair point. It's somehow or somewhat worse. That's like they're not even getting their hands dirty. They're just manipulating these people for their own profit at a very high emotional expense to the families.
Yeah.
The suit stated that the defendant's acts were so outrageous in character and so extreme in degree as to go beyond all possible bounds of decency and are regarded as atrocities and utterly intolerable in a civilized community. Because I think that really is the point here as well, is that, you know, because unregulated they can kind of get around it, but it's like, do you think this is not in a civilized society? Family members of those whose bodies have been donated were told that the donations, if accepted, will be used solely for medical and or scientific research. The donor bodies will be treated with dignity and respect. That donor bodies would not be dismembered and or sold for profit.
Or hung on a wall with someone else's head on it.
Exactly. I mean, literally mutilated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the opposite of what you did.
Yeah.
During the trial, the court heard the price list for different body parts. For example, a torso without a head had sold for $4,000. But the body parts that were not used for research were supposed to have been cremated and returned to the families. And plenty of them did receive cremated remains.
But whose?
Exactly, but not necessarily of their loved ones.
Yeah, because you could be cremating animals and you wouldn't know.
I mean, with the tri-state, they said they think parts of it were actual burnt wood.
Yeah.
The ashes of wood. And it's kind of like, come on. The lawsuit stated, quote, "These bodies were literally used as crash test dummies, which meant that they were used in experiments involving exposures to destructive forces, e.g. impacts, crashes, ballistics, injuries, and blasts."
They were using them as crash test dummies?
Yeah. They want to see a more realistic representation of what's going to happen. Yeah.
That's as morbid as, you know, the wheelbarrow thing.
Well, this is the thing. You can donate your body to the military for this. If you're with that, great. I mean, not great for the people of the military having to clean it up and sort it out. But if they need to learn this, fine. But don't take someone who's specifically... I mean, a lot of people have objections to military service. And, you know, I don't know. In October of 2015, the owner of the Biological Resource Centre, Stephen Gore, pled guilty to illegally conducting an enterprise. He also represented himself in court.
Of course he did.
Now, did you notice his name? Stephen Gore.
Gore.
That's the third case in like a month we've done with really, really unfortunate names.
Yeah. I went to school with someone and their surname was Dick.
Their second name was Dick?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Miss Dick.
Like with a Q?
No.
Q-U-E? No, oh, literal Dick.
Dick.
Oh.
D-I-C-K.
You'd change your name, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got teased a bit.
Now, Stephen denied some of the allegations made against him, but admits that he did provide others with human tissue, and that he could have been more open about the donation process. So, basically, he's agreeing that he misled these people by sending them contaminated specimens, the ashes, but maintains that it was fine to flog the body parts of their loved ones. I can't fucking, it's such a technicality.
Yeah.
You know, it's legally, yeah, you can get away with it, but ethically, no. So a couple quotes here from Stephen. Quote, "It is my belief that we did what we could to honour the donor's consent as we understood it. This was never about financial gain, but rather bollocks. A labour of love."
Bollocks.
In a letter he wrote to the judge, he said, "This was an industry that had no formal regulations to look to for guidance. And I believe that many times I was simply overwhelmed and I tried to do the right thing, but often did not." When, what, how, where, what, like, what are you talking just about?
In the courtroom, kneecap him there and then.
It's just so fucking insane. Like, imagine being like, "I tried to do the right thing, but I did not."
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I suppose you can't say fairer than that. You mean, I think that sentence I find kind of funny. But to actually say the opposite of say it was not about financial gain, but labor of love, bollocks.
Yeah.
To say we tried to honor the wishes, you did not. You simply didn't.
You actually
didn't.
Hounded people to change.
Yes.
Change it.
Now, it's common for body brokers to use the word tissue, meaning any body tissue. But a lot of people hear that and think of skin tissue.
Yeah.
And also bear in mind, they're filling out the forms for a loved one who's passed away. You know, their head is probably up their arse.
Yeah.
They're not going to dive deep into it. In one case, they offered free cremation in exchange for samples. When the person who wanted to donate asked what exactly that entailed, they were told it was just body tissue, that they didn't remove any organs or parts, just tissue. So although, you know, the wording is very kind of whatever, but you're saying one and then you're saying the other.
Yeah.
Like, come on. And also, I mean, again, exploiting those who do not have the financial means by, if you give us tissue, we'll give you free cremation.
Yeah.
Like, come on. So following this man's donation, his head, both his left and right arm, were removed and prepared to be sold. What did you just say?
Yeah. I'm selling an head. How much does it cost? Arm and a leg.
Jesus. The result of the suit would see the plaintiffs awarded $58 million.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. $8 million was awarded in compensatory damages and $50 million in punitive damages. Including Gwendolyn, who we mentioned earlier, she was awarded $5.5 million.
See, so that is a lot, but do we know how much this company had profited?
We don't have an exact number, but it was a lot. It was a hell of a lot.
Like in the 100 million.
I don't know about 100 million, but I mean, over time, God knows how much.
Well, with how dodgy they were, and they weren't even tagging the bodies, a lot of it might have been like cash in hand under the counter.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. So, like I said, Gwendolyn, who we mentioned earlier, she was awarded 5.5 million. Unfortunately, though, the jurors did not rule in favour of all of the plaintiffs. And that's possibly because they did not want to testify themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know. Stephen Gore was sentenced to 12 months deferred jail time and 4 years probation. So, essentially nothing.
Yeah.
Stephen Gore's attorney said on his behalf, quote, "At some point, the business grew exponentially. We became shorthanded. We cut some corners. And for that, I apologise and make amends." I mean, that's the same kind of excuse we heard from Tri-State. "I got overwhelmed."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're making this money, bring others in.
Yeah.
Fix it, sort it out. Or close the business, do something.
Yeah.
Do something. You got to do more than that.
Stop buying bodies.
It's thought that Stephen, along with others involved, which includes employees, a funeral home and healthcare providers, had been mistreating, mishandling and illegally selling donated bodies since at least 2007. The Biological Resource Centre is no longer in operation, but during the time that the business was operating, they received about 5,000 bodies and distributed over 20,000 body parts.
Fucking hell.
In 2017, a law was passed that bans body donation companies from operating without a state licence, although this is yet to be implemented and no licences have been issued. Sharona Hoffman, a professor of law and bioethics at Case Western Reserve University, said,
quote, "It's just not a high priority. One issue is, the person is deceased. Nobody is getting physically hurt. It's just disrespectful, and often not what the families thought when they made the donation."
I don't agree with that.
I don't think she's saying it in a negative way. I think she's saying that's why no one cares. I think she's, you know. The remaining body parts were finally sent to 10 different funeral homes for cremation. Although the Biological Resource Centre were unhappy with this decision, stating that the body parts that were left were worth over $1 million.
What, so they were like, we want our stock back?
Exactly. I mean, it's really unfortunate, but this is how these people look at the remains. They are sadly just another asset to them. They don't kind of stop to think that this was someone's mother or husband or daughter whose body had been donated to, you know, hopefully do some good in the world. Angela MacArthur, the director of the body donation program for the University of Minnesota Medical School, stated, quote, "The current state of affair is a free-for-all. I don't know if I can state this strongly enough. What they are doing is profiting from the sale of humans." And that is the case of the Arizona body yaddy yaddy donation scandal.
You shouldn't be making light of the situation, like joking around, larking about.
And that is the case of the Arizona body donation scandal.
But then again, I did say the arm and the leg thing.
You did, yeah.
That was a bit tactless.
I think what Sharona Hoffman said, it sounds bad and it sounds kind of tactless, but she's right. It's just not a high priority because they look at it, this person's already gone. No one's getting hurt as such.
Yeah.
But it's like the emotional toll, and you know, it's just so fucking unethical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I disagreed with it at first, but yeah, if you actually think about it logically.
Because I think you kept getting caught up in the organ donation.
I did.
Yeah. But once you like realize that is a separate issue.
Yeah.
Then you kind of go, oh, that's not great. Honest to Jesus, there's so much on this topic. I think I'm going to come back and do kind of a roundup episode. Do like, you know, remember like the cases of unreported death type of thing? We can easily do it like a few mini stories on all these bastards who've done this.
Yeah.
There's so many. It's horrifying.
Fucking hell. All in America?
I mean, I'd say predominantly, yeah. All the ones I was looking at happened to be America, yeah. But what do you think of that? It might make you think twice about donating your body, which is a shame because, like I said, there's so much good. You know, you look at the Body Farm episode and we're talking about all the great things of body donation. Then you see something like this and it's just horrific devastation. Absolute fucking disrespect.
Look, if you can make a few bob out of me, then I'm already gone. You're not going to have me ashes anyway.
Yeah.
So if you can make a bit of money out of me.
Well, like I've said to you, I'm fine if you want to donate my body to science, yeah? I'll give you permission now to make some jokes if I get sent for military testing. Find a good punchline to it and at least do something to bring it back.
There she blows. There.
You can do something right now, not for these people. But for me, I'll give you my permission now.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
So, oddity.
Oddity?
That. Yeah.
Alex the Parrot.
I like parrots.
Well, Alex the Parrot was a smart little fucker. Before his death in 2007, at the age of 31, Alex was the subject of a 30-year experiment. His mathematical skills were said to rival those of chimpanzees.
Which isn't great.
What do you mean? Chimps are smart.
Can't do the times tables.
Well, I don't know. I've never actually spoke to one personally.
They hold two bananas up and go 1, 2. That's it, isn't it?
I haven't actually been involved in the testing. I can't say for sure. But no, he was said to have been pretty good with his maths, and he was also able to learn and verbally identify dozens of different objects and the concept of something being bigger, smaller, same, different, over or under. He was also said to have been a very organised fella as well.
How do you have an organised parrot?
I'll tell you, Neil. Alex was able to categorise by colour, size, material and quantity.
Oh, so they're not colourblind?
No.
Okay. No, because a lot of animals are.
Are they?
Yes, I think.
Right. For example, when Alex was shown a blue paper triangle, he would tell you the colour and the shape, and then by feel, tell you the material.
Okay.
And Alex could also identify and correctly order Arabic numerals from 1 to 8. And he knew over 100 English words.
So what you're telling me is there's a chance, but we're going to see Planet of the Parrots.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Well, no, because the thing about the studies, you know, like people say like a bird brain and shit like that.
Yeah.
Birds are kind of like seen as being like thick fuckers.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're actually quite intelligent. Like apparently, I think it's crows, is it? They're meant to like have the fucking intelligence level of like a young child.
Really?
Yeah. Don't quote me. I could be getting this completely wrong, but I heard a 7-year-old and I'm like, oh my God, what? Yeah. Now, apparently, Alex was a bit sassy. He would get pissed off if he guessed incorrectly during testing. So he had the cop on to be like, oh, this is so frustrating.
Yeah.
So say if you were to hide something under a cup and he picked the wrong one, that'd be it. He'd throw a tantrum. And if he asked for a banana and was offered, say, a nut instead, he was said to have just stared in silence before asking for a banana again. Or what he would do is do that before picking up the nut, throwing it at the researcher, and then asking for the banana again.
They've got no hands. How do they throw a nut?
Their beak. He'd pick it up with his gum, hoof it at them. Fuck
spit
you.
It. Spit
fuck
it
you,
out.
Where's me banana? The night before he died, his owner, Dr. Pepperberg, said that
what?
As she put... What?
Pepperberg.
Pepperberg.
Okay.
His owner, Dr. Pepperberg, said that as she put him into his cage for the night, he looked at her and said, "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you."
I thought you were going to say, he looked at her and said, "Fuck you."
No, apparently that was something he said to her every night.
Where's my fucking banana?
There you go. I mean, it's just, it's interesting. 30-year experiment, you know, it was her pet as well.
Yeah.
Because like I said, people think that birds are like, you know, thick fuckers, but apparently not. How do you think Norman would fare against Alex in an IQ test? How do you think I'd fare against Alex?
Norman would just have that stupid, gormless look. When he's just sat looking at you, it's the most gormless face I've ever seen.
But Norman's actually pretty intelligent.
Okay.
Like, he does pick things up quick. He's copped on.
Well, no, you tell him to sit and he spins.
No, yeah. He hasn't learned all the tricks, but he knows a lot of stuff. Like, he is quick to learn.
He knows fuck off.
Get fucked.
Get fucked. Fuck off. He doesn't know stop it. He doesn't know what that means. So, I don't think he'd stand a chance, really.
Would you get a parrot? Or a bird in general?
No.
No?
No.
I thought you liked them.
I do like them to look at, but it's a bit boring, you know, and cleaning cage out and they stink.
You so can't the cats. Like,
no, but
cats' litter boxes are atrocious and you love cats.
Yeah, but with Ty and Norman, I can play fight with them and stuff and they have a personality. Birds... You don't know if they're going to have a personality.
What are you talking about? Alex was sassy as fuck. Where's my banana?
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.